Hello and welcome to the Lead Hership Show. I am your host, Harriet Schumacher, certified executive coach and women's leadership expert. Thank you for tuning in. Each week, we bring forward-thinking, inspiring, and real conversations for women who want to lead and live more fully. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you enjoy the next conversation. Thanks for tuning in. All right, we are live. We are here, and I'm so excited to host you, Melissa. So for everyone who is tuning in, I have the amazing Melissa Lifchess here today, who is the money activist, who is my accountant, my money wing woman, and also the money wing woman for several businesses and women here in Nova Scotia, but also I'm sure you have clients that extend outside of Nova Scotia as well. And we met, you were recommended to me, like highly recommended to me by many women who own businesses, who are entrepreneurs here in Halifax, who trust you, who use you as a trusted, you know, money advisor, but also as a business advisor. And so I'm very excited to host you today because this is a topic that I run into and don't feel qualified really to talk about with women that I coach on a daily basis. And I know for me as well, like you've really helped me to understand or at least connect to my own money beliefs, which, you know, I've actually started to really understand like, wow, how does that my childhood and how I was raised show up in terms of how I lead my business and the types of things that I value in my life and like what kind of life I've created for myself and how I present myself externally. And I need to do some work there because you get to a point in your life and you're like, okay, what is this really it? You know? So, and the other thing that I hear so much of from women and what I encounter with women in who want to grow their careers and ultimately want to make more money is just not having the right mindset to be able to like get to that place, whatever that is. And I think that we, you know, we're kind of raised that like women just keep money under their mattress for like a rainy day. Like we don't have the financial acumen. I know that I don't. I know that I was never taught. I wouldn't even know how to go in and like look at that information, you know, and know how to make really educated decisions about my financial future. And so we're so excited to have some expertise on the show today. I know so many women are going to want to listen to this conversation. So thanks for offering to be here and take us on this journey over the next, you know, 45 minutes or so. So thanks so much, Melissa, for being here.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay. So let's dig in. And why don't you kick us off by giving us and everybody who's going to be listening an understanding of you and, you know, where you were, where you are now, where you're going, how you got here, all of that good stuff.
I am a CPA and it all kind of didn't work out the way that I thought it would. When I was a child, I thought I was going to be a fashion designer, and here I am, the CPA.
Okay, that's interesting. Yes. Well, you are very fashionable. You found a good way of, you know, continuing to mix
yes,
the two. I mean,
right.
I'm looking at you right now, and you're wearing this like beautiful shirt. You look amazing, and you're always like dressed to the nines. So you
Thank
haven't
you.
Lost that's... your fashion roots for sure.
Thank you. That's one of the ways that I express myself. So, so let's kind of go back. The reason why I went into accounting over 10 years ago was I really just wanted to understand money. I came from a household where money was always an issue. It was a fight between my parents. It, you know, I had witnessed bankruptcy, repossession of assets. So it was a lot of lack mentality. And so I grew up thinking that money was hard to come by. You had to work really hard for the money, that money was fleeting. Money didn't grow on trees, you know, you name it. It was all just this lack mentality. And basically you were fearful that you weren't going to survive.
Yeah.
we just lived in that place for a long time. And so when I moved out at 18 and started to work full time, I was horrible with money. I spent it all. I became a shopping addict. I didn't know how to manage it because I wasn't taught. And I came to a point in my life where I was just so sick of being in this situation. I'm like, there's got to be a better way. So I started reading books from Susie Orman and Get Rich Dad. And I was trying to resonate with it. And I understood the concepts, but I thought, like, something's missing here. Something's missing. So that journey evolved into me going back to school at 29. And I had no idea really where I was going to go. I knew that business was in my blood because I kind of danced all around in business. I was in marketing. I was in a little bit of banking, financial. I was dancing all around it. And so finally I decided, okay, I need to learn. I really do need to learn something. So I went back to school, accounting 101. I fell in love with it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is really bizarre. Like, who would have thought that I would love accounting?
Yeah.
But it was all about balance. And I think that's what really resonated with me, the balance of it. Like, every action had an equal reaction, right? So it was all about kind of accounting for everything, seeing everything. And then I learned that numbers told a different story. Numbers told a whole different story than what I would hear the story from executives or CEOs. It was a totally different story. And I thought, how can I crack this code? And so, very long journey, 8 years of studying.
Oh my goodness.
And CPA and countless hours of work. But at the end of it, I should back up. I thought that numbers had no emotion in it. I thought they were purely facts. And it felt good to kind of lean on a fact. But over the past couple of years and working with clients, I realized that that number is only based on all the actions that you had put in to get that number. And what are the actions stem from? Beliefs and thoughts. So that's kind of where I've been led today. I've been in business for myself for probably 9 years. But I've only been on my own. So I had a full-time job while I had a side business. But it's only been the last couple of years that I've been completely on my own. So it really helped me kind of focus on what I want to say. And what I want to say is, it all starts with your thoughts. We think that if we get the money, that all the problems are solved. But it all starts with the thought and the belief.
I totally buy into that. And this piece around lack mentality, like, it actually, I think I said to my kids last night at Michael's craft store, money doesn't grow on trees, when I was asked to buy them something. Like, that is so hardwired into my belief. Like, I went to a private school that my parents could not afford. And they used to drive me to school literally in a car that was assembled with rust paint and two wooden rail ties tied, like, not cool. And I used to get them to drop me off. And that was one of the things that they prioritized certain things over other things, right? So, like, education is a priority, but we don't have a lot of flashy stuff. Like, that is definitely tapped. I mean, we shopped in thrift stores. Like, we never bought anything new. Everything is used. Everything is, like, you know, there's no point in investing in any of that kind of stuff. So talk to me about this. Talk to me about how you came to, you know, understand this and the connection between, like, you doing this research, becoming a CPA, and you said something is missing. So what's missing, and what are you uncovering now that you are in business and working with people? What's the missing link that is holding people back? Because everybody wants more money, right? Everybody
Absolutely.
Wants to feel that.
Yeah.
So what's
including
missing?
Me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And everybody else who's listening here.
Right. The missing piece is, so traditionally, the accounting financial world was dominated by men. Now, I'm not here to bash men. I love men. I've had some great, wonderful men who have been mentors to me. That's not what I'm here to do, but we're shifting, and 2020, we could see that we're in the rumblings of a new beginning, right? Like things are going to shift. So traditionally the accounting world was very masculine. So it was very left brain. And what I mean by that, it means that it was action-based. It was results-oriented. It was about analysis. It was about thinking with your head. It was about the shareholders' benefits. Mm-hmm. It was about the conscious. And now we're moving more into the feminine. And the feminine is the subconscious. And it's about planning. And it's about being process-oriented. And it's about integrating. And it's about intuition and heart and the collective benefit and relationships. And so the missing piece, Harriet, is that we got to be balanced. Just like I said, what drew me to accounting is we need to be balanced. And how to be balanced in this is you got to be masculine and feminine. We all have masculine and feminine energies. Mm-hmm. So we got to plan, that's the feminine. And then we're going to take action, that's the masculine. We got to think about ourselves, that's the masculine, but we also have to think about the collective. That's the feminine.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
I do. That's the missing piece.
That's the missing piece. So the way in which money has been defined, what it has meant in society and why we have money, seems like the perceptions around that are changing.
Like when we think about a lot of the bigger companies, right? Like we're thinking about people really looking at the core values of the company, and do they relate to being economically sustainable and you know, like anything that's been, like we're coming to that point where we're evolving as obviously the world, but in business it affects business too. If we all have another drive to kind of like help and service people, and so that's showing up more and more.
That's interesting. I read something that when women make more money, they spend it differently than men do.
Absolutely, they do.
Absolutely. So how do women, but the issue is that we don't have as much. So how do we, talk to me about this barrier that I believe exists. I know that it exists within myself. I hear it in the conversations that I have with women around women's belief about their money and earning money and making money and just financial literacy for women, because I feel like until we solve this, the system's not going to really change in our favor.
Absolutely.
So talk to me about that.
I think the big thing is the fear around money. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we're different than the men, I think the men were always mentored by other men coming up. Mm-hmm. You deserve the raise, right? Like it was really about camaraderie, and in business for women, we're very much alone. Mm-hmm. Like we're very much just trying to figure things out and being independent and not asking the questions and not feeling that we are valued for what we do. Mm-hmm. So it's just all fear. And I think that's why I'm walking through the fire of my fear today by talking to you.
Yeah.
Because I know that this needs to get out. And how it's shown up with my clients is I just give them a little bit of kind of cheering on. And for some reason, it clicks to them. And then they run off to the races. They just have a conversation with me and it clicks. And I tell them, no, you're on the right path. I think it's just self-doubt. I think that's what it is. I think we doubt ourselves to failure. Like that's what happens. Like we all do it. We just think we're not good enough. We don't do enough. It's not perfect, you know, you name it. It's just all the doubt. And then that just creates fear.
I wonder, you know, when I think back to just how I was conditioned, and I mean, like I'm older, I'm not ancient, but I just look at, you know, money from the masculine and feminine, like men held the money. When you would go to a restaurant, the man would be given the bill to pay. That yes. still happens in restaurants today. When I go out for dinner with my husband, the female waitress brings him the bill. And I'm like, I'm paying today. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I've been to many places where I just see that, you know, society expects the man to hold the purse. And yes. women, I think we've bought into that because we've been totally. Conditioned to buy into that. So yeah. I find like, I mean, and I would love to hear your perspective. Like, I don't think that very many women have a handle on their finances. I still think that they expect their partner, whoever that is, to sort that out for them. And what's the problem with that? How does that feed into our fear and keep us stuck from my financial perspective? What's your take on that?
Well, I think because you're afraid, because you've come up with assumptions in your head, you're not communicating. Mm-hmm. You're probably not communicating your fears. That way you're not mm-hmm. communicating well with your partner. Right. So there's always a disconnect.
Like, I just feel like women are not, we don't have enough education around money. So I feel like it's a barrier. Like, I know when I look at my financials, I'm like, you know, I don't even have the language. Right. And that's, I can fix that, but I have to want to, because I have to have, like some sort of belief that, like the belief piece, like I need to work through whatever that is. That conditioning that actually, like, I like money, I want to earn more money, but why do so many women like me, and I'm sure lots of other women, not do the work to get a handle on it so that they can be in control? Like, I feel like we're just kind of in the fog with our finances for a lot of women, maybe men too, but you know, we've got women who are listening here today.
I think that's one of the reasons why women are so comfortable with me, is that they're not afraid to ask the questions. And this is how they always preface it. Number one is like 90% say, I am not good at math. Okay, baloney. Right. I am not doing calculus every day, people. I am not a rocket scientist. It is simple math. Right. Yes, right. There are different ways to calculate and formulas and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's money in, money out. Like, mm-hmm. we all can do that. Right? Mm-hmm. It's simple adding and subtracting. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And so that's one belief, that I am not good at math, therefore I'm not good at figuring out the finances. So that's like number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is that there's a lot of shame, I think, because women think that they need to have it all together. And then so they don't ask the question because they don't want to be perceived in a certain way. Like, financials, I understand, they are so intimate. It's everything, right? It's how you live. But I don't take that for granted at all. I know it's very, like, you're in a vulnerable spot when you're coming to me. I understand that. But in order to get to the other side, we have to be uncomfortable and figure out what we need to learn. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only way. The point, if you're listening to this podcast, is you're doing the first step. You're on the path of figuring it out.
So, like, you said, like, how to get to the other side. So what is the other side that you think women want to get to financially? Where are they stuck? And what do they want?
They want freedom. And that's what money's been to me. Mm-hmm. Money is obviously safety and security, but on the other side of it, it's freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to obviously buy what you want, but it's really a lifestyle. So it's having enough money to be able to take the day off and go connect with a friend, or take the day off just so you can get your mental health in check. Like, that's freedom to me, is like, you're not tethered to forcing yourself to push yourself to keep generating money every single day. There needs to be a flow. It's just life, right? Like, you need to plan and you need the action, you need to rest, right? So it's the same thing. And I think we just need to have more balance, and it'll show up in the money. I think the big part of it all, and this is what I want to do, is just really bust through all those fears and all those beliefs, because you will manifest the money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely can, you know, for myself, and I think anyone who's listening can, you know, resonate with that. Like what's going on in my mind right now, as I think about this and the connection between me, and I start to think about what things mean to me, really. Mm-hmm. Why do I have what I have? Why have I acquired these things?
Right. Yes.
Like, yes. You know, on the outside.
Right.
And when I'm feeling a certain way, how does that drive my spending habits?
Absolutely. You're on it, Harriet. You're on it.
However, there's this other piece, which is, it's hard because there's like this tension between you want to have freedom, and maybe you can help me with this. Everybody wants to have financial freedom. And I think that looks different for different people. I'm sure their vision around that is very different, right?
Yes,
so financial freedom for some people could be like, I get to take luxurious vacations. Well, not right now, but maybe. Yes. Or other people could be like, financial freedom is that I have no debt. So how, like, talk to me about that process when you're working with somebody. Like, how do you help them get that vision so that they can connect the dots, right? Because I'm sure that there's like a path. You said there's like the planning and the process that leads to the outcome.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I think we're blind. Like, I think a lot of people, and I think up until meeting you, I would just look at my bank account and be like, okay, well, this is how much money's in there. So am I green or red? Like, that's how.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Which is not a great, that's not managing anything.
Right. Exactly. So there's kind of like two pieces to this. So mm-hmm. Number one is if we're looking at it from a freedom perspective, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that it looks different from different people. So that's where I would ask you the questions. What does your perfect lifestyle look like? And I had to go through this myself. Like, last year I made more money than I had ever made, ever, in this like short period of time. And of course it was exhilarating when I first started, but as the months rolled by, I was completely exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I had brought my mother with me because I was staying in a very nice hotel while I was working, and I took her on a week-long trip when I was working a firm for a little break for her. And she was so incredibly excited. And I came back to the hotel after work, and I had just burst into tears. And I was sobbing. And she's like, what's the matter? And I said, I just feel like a failure. Like, I feel like I've done all this work. I've worked so hard for the past 10 years. And here I am in a hotel room. And I, like, what's it all for, Mom? And she said, I'm just so proud of you. Like, you're doing it. You did it. And I just couldn't see, like, it just wasn't what I wanted. I didn't have the freedom. I was chained to producing. And that's the thing, is like, we're so conditioned to think that money's going to solve everything. We have to come back to what's going to make us truly happy, right? Like, money is important. I get that. This is the business that I'm in, but like, so are other things, family, connection, health. I think we need to stop focusing all on the amount of money and really figure out, well, what's going to resonate with me to make me feel good? Because the money will come when you're feeling good and you're balanced in your own little world. Like, it will. But it takes time, it takes work, and it takes planning, and there's a process to it. But that's how it all starts. And the second thing that I wanted to say was, there are 7 levels of financial stability.
Yeah.
So the first
one. I need to know these. Okay. I'm like getting out my pen and paper right now. Okay. From the person who feels like I never have stability. Okay. Hit us. What are they?
So the first one is,
as you said earlier, like this piece around balance. Like, I don't want to feel out of balance because I feel like that is when I like have a negative kind of reactive reaction. Right.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not making enough. So then I'm like panicky in terms of how I generate income, or I've made a lot. So let's go spend, like, let's reward yourself.
Which totally.
Both of those strategies are totally disconnected from what I actually want, which is stability and balance. Yes. Exactly. So I'm very intrigued to hear, like, what are these sort of pillars of financial stability? Because I'd like to be able to assess my own life and see how I'm doing. I don't know what we're going to come up with here at the end, but I'm ready for the realness. I'm ready for the work.
Okay. So the first one's dependence. So that's depending on someone else to finance your basic needs.
Okay.
The second one is solvency. So that's you being able to pay for your basic needs, but you have debt, mortgage, consumer debt. When I say consumer debt, that's credit cards, other loans. Mm-hmm. Then the next one is stability. Mm-hmm. Stability is when you pay all your loans off except for your mortgage and maybe your student loans. Mm-hmm. And you can obviously pay for your basic needs. The next one is debt freedom. So that's when you hit completely debt free.
So mortgage paid off, would that fall into that
mortgage
bucket?
Mortgage paid off.
Running any other debt, like no car loans, no loans.
Exactly. Yep.
So you're just kind of cash comfortable at that point. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So then the next one is security. So security is about passive income. So what I mean by passive income is an income that you would generate while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So that could look like investments. That could look like interest on bank accounts that you that you earn. It could look like maybe you're doing an Airbnb or rent, like you're renting out a house or whatever it is.
Or if you're a business owner, you're not like trading time for dollars. You've got something else happening on behind the scenes. Yeah,
exactly. Like maybe you're doing subscription. You don't have to do anything. You've already done the work and it's minimal upkeep. The key word is minimal upkeep. So that passive income would pay for your basic needs.
Right.
And then the next step up is independence. So that's when the passive income now floats your whole lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then the final one is financial independence, or financial abundance. Mm-hmm. And that's when the bucket spills over. So not only are you affording your lifestyle, but you're able to give more to the community, you know, causes, that sort of thing.
I love this. This feels like a path.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, I'm really trying to do kind of like a money map and do like a step-by-step kind of process. Cause there are going to be times where you're going to feel uncomfortable. That's when you know you're changing. And so how you get to the other side is you have to keep going in those steps. You can't resort back to the habit of comforting yourself by spending, oh, well, I deserve this and everything. And listen, I am not about restriction. I am not about restriction, but it's about finding what you have right now and work with what you have to get a glimpse of the lifestyle that you want. Right.
So
that's the old adage of like the financial world used to be about like don't spend like that. No, that, I mean that's not.
That's not realistic. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, and that's what kind of what I was thinking too when you were talking about like financial freedom. Like I think freedom comes with being able to spend, but to spend not from a place of lack or not from a place of fear, right? Like spending from a place like I want to know I can and should spend this because I have earned the right to spend this, but not because I've simply got cash that's come into my bank account because like the other pieces are working like as they should. Right. So the foundation has been laid, if you will.
Yes, exactly. And I think
like you're not talking about like putting money in envelopes, like the old way of saving. I've seen advice like that, like take your envelopes and budget your week. I'm like, I could never, ever live that way. I mean, I shouldn't say never, maybe I could, but I don't even want to try. And for any of you who do that, like no judgment, like good for you. No, I'm just not that, I know I'm not that organized.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's pretty time consuming and it rents a lot of space in the mind, I think, but.
Yeah. So then if there's a woman who's listening here and is like, saying to herself, I want freedom, or I want security, or I want to feel like I have a plan for my future. And right now doesn't really know what to do. Like either gets a paycheck from their job or runs a business and, you know, has money coming in, but doesn't really have any system in place for that. What advice would you give her? What would you tell her that she should?
The very first thing you have to do is look at where you're at. You need to look at where you're at in order to figure out where you need to go. So that entails looking at all the loans, all the bills, all the money out every single month in terms of fees and subscriptions and memberships and everything that you go through it and go, there's obviously going to be purchases that you're going to need to do every month, but there may be purchases that you just kind of forgot about and you keep paying it. And then you're like, oh, I should really cancel that. Or it's really just a money edit, right? So like, why are you, and you got to think of money as like, I like kind of like the energetics of money. So if you think about money that you're basically just like, you're giving out your love. If you give out your love, like what are you receiving? If you're not taking
so good.
If you're not taking any pleasure in that purchase, like what's it giving you? You need to cut it out.
I want to like hang out here for a second because I think that this is like huge. So what you've said is money is a form of love. That's what I'm hearing.
It's totally wrapped up in self-worth and value of yourself, for sure. Right.
So if money is an expression, so if you've earned it, right? Which is like, there's an emotional attachment to the earning piece for sure, right? Yeah. And then I'm taking that and I'm spending it ultimately for myself or possibly for other people. Yeah. Then you're basically telling us we should be, like, what's the emotional connection between that? Is that what you're saying?
So when you're spending, are you spending it in order to feel better for your lack mentality? If I spend it, are you, if you're spending it on somebody else, is it because you want them to think that you're nice? Do you want them to think that you're giving? It's like you're kind of manipulating.
Yes. Yes.
How you're trying to get the attention instead of it coming from, you know what, I just love and appreciate you, so here you go. You know what I mean? There's a different energy there of when I'm spending and I'm giving you a gift, but I want you to look at me a certain way, or I want you, or like, I want to feel a certain way instead of coming from a place of just gratitude and love.
I'm doing this unattached to the outcome. Like I'm doing it because I can, but I'm not expecting something in return.
Exactly.
Kind of like, I'm not expecting you to love me more because I have done this. Yeah. So it's definitely coming from a place of self-worth, coming from a place of wholeness. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can totally resonate with that. I think, you know, when I look back to, you know, my story, if you grew up in an environment where there wasn't a lot of cash, when you had cash, when it showed up, things were purchased as a form of building relationship, right? And of demonstrating love. And so that definitely builds into your psyche, like, well, that's how you show love. You show love through the purchasing of things, because when you can't purchase things, then you do. It's like you're trying to fill the bank account back up again, right? Like the emotional bank account back up again.
Exactly.
Which creates all this, you know, very interesting, very interesting. So we've only got a few minutes left. When I want to make sure that everyone who is curious about their getting to understand their money story, which sounds like this is a big part of working with you, is really kind of beginning to understand and unravel those pieces and building a roadmap. I love the money map idea and like having a where you are now and kind of what's your destination and how do you get there. I think that that is so key for so many women. And another thing that I had written this down. Do you think that there's a bias towards women when it comes to money? Like when women go into banks and go in to try to have these conversations in certain institutions, do you think there's a bias?
Absolutely. And you know, what comes to mind is like the Sex and the City episode when Miranda went to go get a mortgage and the mortgage lender's like, well, where's your husband? You're single? Like that happens. That happens in real life. And there are still times today where a woman will walk in and there is a preconceived notion that,
she doesn't have authority or you don't have money.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Encounter that sometimes. Or need help. Like last time I went to buy lease a car. I went to the dealership and I was by myself. Like husband was outside with the kids. Purchased the car. I was like, okay, I'm ready to do the paperwork. And he's like, well, don't you want your husband to like come in and have a conversation? I'm like, no, actually. And he doesn't want to either. Like he doesn't. So, and circling back to that happens at restaurants when you're paying the bill, it happens when you walk into the bank. So refreshing to be able to work with a woman around your finances and you know, be, as you said, being able to come to you and have really open, high trust, confidential conversations that, you know, you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be assumed. So how do women find you if they want to start a conversation about money and they want to begin this work? How do women find you? How does everybody reach out to you?
If you have Instagram, my handle is @TheMoneyActivist. If you don't, you can definitely shoot me an email at info@themoneyactivist.com and we can start a conversation.
Okay. If there is one thing as we wrap up today, one thing that you would want women to really believe about, you know, their money, what would that be?
It would be, if you have dreamt it, it can come true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. I really do believe that. I think that we have more power than we give ourselves.
Absolutely.
Credit to, we just need to do the work. So I'm so happy that you were here and helping us to understand the differences between, you know, masculine, feminine beliefs around money. And I know that if women earn more money, the world's going to become a better place. So I think that everybody should reach out to you and begin to do some of this work, do some of this undoing, and get a path to a more stable, balanced, and secure future. So thanks so much for being here, The Money Activist. Thanks so much for being here, Melissa Lifchez. And if anybody is curious about getting this conversation started, please reach out to her. As I said, I have been working with Melissa for many years around my business and my financial stability, and really have begun to understand some things that have been holding me back from the type of financial freedom that I've been looking for. So what a gift to so many of us. And whether you are, you know, working in corporate or whether you have your own business, you're working with all types of backgrounds. You're not working with one particular industry or one type of situation exclusively. So your advice is sound. And wonderful to have you in my corner. And so I recommend everybody to reach out to you for sure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here, Melissa. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello again. This is Harriet Schumacher, and thank you for listening and tuning into The Leadership Show. I really hope that you enjoyed what we were discussing today. And if you did, if you liked what you heard and you want to continue to be a part of our community, here's a couple of ways that you can do that. First, make sure that you subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You want to make sure that you get our releases coming to you each week. And if you would love to give us a rating and give us some feedback about the show, of course, we would love to hear your thoughts. And on another note, if you want to be a part of our community, we have a private Facebook group for women in leadership. It is actually called the Women in Leadership Group. You can find us on Facebook. We have over 1,300 professional women who are inside that community who are having amazing conversations right now about what they care the most about. I go live inside that group every Tuesday to give you free training and free coaching. So we hope that you join. We'd love to see you over there. So thanks so much, everyone. Enjoy your day, and we look forward to hearing you and being with you again next week. Take care.